You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. Last week, we looked at the character of Bat Paro. Specifically, we saw the pasuk in which Bat Paro sees baby Moshe in the pasuk, in the basket, and we discussed what exactly it was that she saw which that caused her to have compassion and to save Moshe and to take him as her own son. While I was looking through the sources on that pasuk, I came across two other sources which in my mind highlight the roles of two other minor characters in the story, and that's what I'd like to discuss today. You'll recall from last week's podcast that the pasuk said, "Vatiftach vatirehu et hayeled, v'hinei na'ar boche." Right? She opens, Bat Paro opens the basket, and she sees him, the child, and behold, a child, a na'ar, is crying. And I mentioned last week that many of the commentaries on this pasuk pick up on the question, why is Moshe first called a yeled and then a na'ar? A yeled, both being words for a child, but a yeled generally being a younger child and a na'ar an older child, and as well as the question of why he is called a na'ar at all, right? Which, as I just mentioned, usually connotes an older child, not a 3-month-old baby. Last week, in the context of understanding Bat Paro, we saw many mefreshim who, in trying to answer this question, suggest reasons that a baby in this particular story would be called a na'ar. In these mefreshim, it is Moshe, right, the baby, who is arguably the main character of the story, is at the center. These two other sources which I'd like to address today, address the same question, but in doing so, they highlight these two other characters. The first source is found in Masechet Sota, Daf Yudbet Amudbet, and says, "V'hinei na'ar boche, melamed she'asta lo imo chupat ne'urim bateva." Right? This teaches us, the fact that the word na'ar is used, teaches us, this midrash says, that his mother, Moshe's mother, made him a chupat ne'urim, a wedding canopy in the teva. Lest, she says, right, amra, shema lo eske lechupato, lest she not merit being at his chupa, at his wedding. While the na'ar in the pasuk, in this midrash, still refers to Moshe, this midrash is really focused on Yocheved, right, Moshe's mother. There are different possible ways to understand why Yocheved did what she did, right, why she set her 3-month-old baby boy afloat in a basket on the Nile. One possibility is that she wanted to hide him, right? She puts him in the suf, we read in the pasuk, the reeds, right? Perhaps it was a way of camouflaging him until it was safe to take him out. Another possibility is that she simply could not bear to witness his inevitable death, so she put him in the basket so she would at least be spared that, right? This is similar to the story of Hagar, who, when she's in the desert and runs out of water, she puts Ishmael under the bushes because she can't bear to see his death. Another possibility is hinted to in this midrash, I believe. Right? She had hope, I think this midrash is hinting, that her baby would be found, right? Then he would be saved. And that is why she puts him in the water. Right? That was her plan from the beginning. It wasn't an accidental, you know, something that happened by chance after she put the baby. And that was her hope from the very beginning. That's why she did it. And that, in fact, is exactly what ended up happening. There are possible hints to this, right, in the story, in her actions that we see in the story. For example, the fact that she so carefully makes the teva, right? There's extreme detail how she puts the teva together and how she makes it waterproof, etc. This is not the teva of a baby who's expected to die right away, right? This is someone who's hoping that this baby is going to survive. Also, right, Miriam, as we know, stands by to see ma ye'aselo, what will be done to him, right? So apparently there was some hope that maybe somebody would be doing something to him, right? Hopefully something good, something positive, right? And so it seems that her hope was that this baby would survive and would grow up, and as the Midrash is hinting, would one day get married, right? And the Midrashic symbol of this hope, right, is that as a sign of her hope and her belief, Yocheved provides him with a chuppah. Right? That's my hope. That's my belief that this baby will grow up. This baby will one day need a chuppah, and she puts it into the teva with him. Her bravery is seen, I think, however, in the fact that she knows that if her baby is saved, even if the plan goes exactly as she hopes, and her baby is saved, that he won't be saved for her. And that's essentially what the Midrash is saying, right? Shema lo eske lechupato, right? Lest I not merit being at his wedding. Right? She, no matter what, will not be the one to watch him grow, and she will not be the one to see him reach adulthood, and she won't be the one to stand with him under the chuppah or to bring him to the chuppah. And so her greatness lies in her ability to do what she did, knowing that in all cases her personal loss would remain. In some ways, her greatness is the opposite of that of Bat Paro. Bat Paro gains a son, in a sense, by going against her own people. Right? That's what we discussed last week. Yocheved loses a son so that he could live and grow up and save her people. So the two brave women in this story really are brave in a very opposite sort of way. There's another perush on the same pasuk, on the words v'hinei nar boche, which highlights yet another member of Moshe's family. And that is, that perush is found in a few different sources. It's found in the Chizkuni, in the Baal HaTurim, in a few far-flung Midrashim as well. The Chizkuni says, Davar acher v'hinei nar boche, ra'ata aharon boche, shaharei hu achiv. And according to the Chizkuni, in this source, Bat Paro sees a na'ar boche. This wasn't Moshe, this wasn't the baby. Rather, it was Aharon. Moshe's brother, who was, relatively speaking, a na'ar, right? He wasn't a three-month-old. He was already a few years older than Moshe. Now, I'm not sure that this is the pshat. Right? Probably the pshat, as I said before, is that the na'ar boche is the baby. But it certainly is a very clever reading of the pasuk. What is insightful, I think, however, is what the Chizkuni adds. Sheharehu achiv. Right? Because Aharon, after all, was his brother. Right? We are usually very focused in this story on Moshe, on Yocheved, on Bat Paro, what they're doing, etc. We think of Miriam a little bit also because she's mentioned explicitly in the story. She has a role in the story. But this parish forces us to think of a three-year-old Aharon. Right? He wasn't old enough, like his sister, to go and actually run after watching the baby to see what happens. But one imagines that a three-year-old would be very, very affected by the events of that day in one way or another. And in that way, I think those words, Sheharehu Achiv, is very insightful. Right? Well, of course, Aharon, the Na'ar, would be crying. The Chizkuni's comment, I think, is also very sensitive to the nature of the relationship of Moshe and Aharon. Right? Aharon grows up to be an important person in his own right. He's the Kohen Gadol. He has his own role. He's not completely in the shadow of his brother. Right? He's a main character, so to speak, not just a minor one. But throughout the Torah, he always is in some way, in some sense, Moshe's brother. This is mentioned explicitly, of course. This role as Moshe's brother is mentioned explicitly in Moshe's conversation with Hashem at the Sneh, where Moshe is told that when he goes back to Egypt, that his brother Aharon will meet him, right, and that he will rejoice. And there he's explicitly referred to as Moshe's brother. Right. So at that moment, that very complicated moment, I imagine, when Moshe has to come back to Egypt, right? Complicated and in some ways scary, worrisome. There could be 100 words that you could use to describe what might have been going through Moshe's mind at that particular moment. It's his brother who is there rejoicing on his return, right, to bring him back. So Aharon does what a brother can do better than anybody else. And throughout the stories in the Torah, I think, even when he comes into his own role as the Kohen Gadol, one really always feels that Aharon plays the role of Moshe's right-hand man. He's Moshe's interpreter in certain places. He's the one who helps Moshe with the leadership, right? In a secondary position, but he also steps in to do things which Moshe himself cannot do. Again, those words in the Chizkuni really pinpoint at that very first starting moment in the relationship between these two men, pinpoints the role of Aharon as Moshe's brother, Right, so we see in these two commentaries, which again I don't think are the pshat, right, really tell us something very pshat oriented about the situation of that family on that particular day, and appropriately, it seems to me both these mefarshim focus, or these ideas are focused on or are drawn out of the words v'hine nar boche, right? And probably there's no other word which could possibly encapsulate the trauma of that day, right? The day when this mother had to put her little baby on the basket to be carried off to who knows where, right? To be found by another person who would become his mother, right? Nothing better encapsulates that day than the words v'hine nar boche. But through these mifarshim, we see how that day affected not only the two mothers and the baby, but also the others who were around at that time, right? And such as Aharon, and shows how they were affected, but also how the people who were around that baby, Yocheved and Aharon, also contributed to what that baby, that Nar Boche, would eventually become.